Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is so merciful, so gentle and kind, reaches out. And how often He reaches out in love and compassion, very slowly, very gingerly. Then when that doesn't work, He gets a little bit more emphatic. And sometimes I just wonder, if I look back in the scripture and I look at that watchman on the wall, if he couldn't see something afar off and he blows the trumpet a little bit, and it wasn't quite getting their attention. And so he blew the trumpet just a little bit louder. And they still kind of looked up and thought, was that what I thought it was? And then they went back to what they were doing. And then the watchman sees that they still didn't listen to the certain sound. And so he takes in and sucks in. I can see this happening. He sucks in the biggest breath that he possibly can, and he blows that trumpet with everything that he can, because it's an urgent deal now. And most of it has to do with because those that were out there weren't attuned to hearing the sound of the trumpet. They got so engrossed in what they were doing with their heads down, they got so engrossed with everything that was going on right next to them. Just like us, we could not hear the sound of the heavenlies calling out to us. That's what the Lord's trying to do here today. Mark 16 and 17 said, "And these signs shall," everybody say shall "follow them that believe. In my name," Jesus speaking here, "in my name," in Jesus' name, "they shall cast out devils," semicolon there, "and they shall speak with new tongues." I told you last week that I was going to do my best to teach doctrinally for the next little while on baptism in Jesus' name, repentance and filling of the Holy Ghost, oneness of God, so on and so forth. And just teach doctrine simply from the Word of God. So here we are today, and I want to preach on the infilling of the Holy Ghost. God bless you. You can be seated in Jesus' name. First question I want to ask is, who began to teach of the infilling of the Holy Ghost? Who was the very first person that began to teach about the infilling of the Holy Ghost?
John.
No, I just read it to you.
Jesus
was. Many people want to put it on the apostles. Well, he was the first one, and don't be upset with me. I wasn't to make you look stupid or anything like that. That wasn't. But that's what a lot of times what has happened is we always say it was one of the apostles, it was one of these, it was one of those, and so on and so forth. And the question is that so many people of the modern Christian world today want to say that you're automatically filled with the Holy Ghost when you were born. If that was the case, what happened to those before Jesus spoke here? If that was the case, that we're naturally born or naturally filled with the Spirit of Jesus, then why did he say this, that ye shall speak in new tongues? Why did Jesus say it? If this wasn't something that was going to happen, that was something that was specifically going to happen to us. Understand this, a word of tongues, a glossa, in the Greek means a language that was not learned naturally. When you begin to speak with other tongues, it is not a language that you would speak naturally. It is a heavenly language. It is from above. It is not Spanish, French, Portuguese, English, or whatever, and there's so many others. Amen. It is as the Spirit gives the utterance. So Jesus taught that believers would be, shall be, filled with the Holy Ghost. John chapter number 7 and verse number 37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." It is known, it is understood, and if it is not, I'm going to just take a little bit of time right here, that believing is not just a confession of your mouth.
Right.
Amen. The church is on fire right now. Do you believe that?
Right.
If you believe that and you're still sitting here, you are stupid. Because if you believe that, you would believe it in such a way that action would be performed.
Yeah, that's right.
It's on fire. Woo, man, we're out of here. When you believe something, you have an action. You don't just go, "Oh, okay, that's nice. Yeah, cool. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I believe it. Yeah, mm-hmm." Because believing is action. But our Christian world today at large says believing is just confessing with your mouth. Confession will not get you saved. Confession is the beginning of the process of being saved. Oh, hallelujah. Confession is the beginning of the process of being saved. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is a man, and you have to believe on him in order to be saved. But that's why he didn't stop just believe on me, but he said, as the scripture saith, because he knew there's a whole lot more to come than just believing in me. But you got to act upon my word. You've got to put your belief into action. We've got too many people that want to call themselves Christians that do not have action behind their Christ-likeness.
Amen.
For a Christian means to be Christ-like.
Right.
And let me tell you something. You want to call me a Christian? That's the highest thing that you could ever say to me. Highest accolade. The most impressive thing that you could ever say and compliment me with. But I will never tell you that I myself am a Christian, because what I am saying is that I am Christ-like, and I know me. I know my flaws. I know my failures. I know my inadequacies, and it's far from being Christ-like. Yet I will confess to you today, proclaim to you today, that I am doing my dead level best at striving to be more like him. Oh, how I long to love like him, to be merciful like him, to have compassion like him, to have grace like him, to have his judgment. For he is righteous in his judgment. But he said, out of his shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, hallelujah. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord. Well, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost right now. So you didn't feel it before, and I felt it a lot already, and I'm going to feel it some more. Amen. Verse 39 said, "But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive." That's me. That's you. That's today, this day, this time, that there's going to be some others that will believe on him and obey the scripture, and they will have rivers of living water flowing out of them. Verse 39, the last portion said, "For the Holy Ghost was not yet given," because Jesus was not yet glorified. Nobody had the Spirit of God like the scripture in the New Testament says being infilled with the Spirit before Jesus Christ had died. We get this because he was crucified. We get the Spirit. We get the infilling of his Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues because he died, because he was glorified, because he was resurrected. He said, I'm going to send you the promise, a comforter, and I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to come to you again. And he came to us in the form of his Spirit. Jesus declared this to be necessary in order for the believer to enter into the kingdom of God. I don't get what the world, the Christian world today, society today, doesn't get about the scripture. John 3:5 said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, Jesus said it, except ye be born of the water and of the Spirit. When you see it there, it's not small s, it's a capital S. Unless you've been born of the heavenly Spirit of God. He said, Jesus said, don't throw eggs at me. Don't throw tomatoes at me. Don't boo-hoo me. I'm just preaching to you the word of God. You cannot enter to the kingdom of God. You cannot go. You've got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. And it just doesn't automatically go poof. And when you are baptized, or when you are born again of the water, amen, you can't be sprinkled.
Right.
That's not baptism.
Right.
Baptizing this. No, that wouldn't be baptizing, that'd be sprinkling.
Right.
Huh? Because the original Greek term of baptized is baptizo, which means to be completely immersed under water. Oh, I'm thankful to have an understanding that it wasn't just a priest saying a few words and scattering some droplets on my head, but I had to be baptized. I had to be buried for the remission of my sins. I had to bury that old man in a watery grave of baptism in the name of Jesus. There is no other name under heaven given among men. My God, have mercy. Whereby we must be saved. Let me tell you and remind you again. Father is not a name. Because I'm a father, and so is he, and so is he, and so is he, and so is he. So if I'm baptized in the name of the Father, I'm not baptized in any name. If I'm baptized in the name of the Son, he's a son, he's a son, he's a son, he's a son, and I'm a son. So I'm not baptized in any name. I'm a husband, he's a husband, he's a husband, he's a husband, he's a husband. It don't matter. I'm a licensed driver, and so are you guys.
That's good. You still got your license?
Okay, never mind. Come on now. Those are not names. But I pull out, they say, you want to see identification? I pull out it, and it doesn't say father. It doesn't say husband. It doesn't say son. It doesn't say brother. But it has my name. So it does me no good to be buried in the name of who knows what father, who knows what son, who knows what spirit. I got to be baptized in the name of Jesus. So we're so emphatic that you gotta be buried. You gotta be baptized in water by in the name of Jesus. It shouldn't be a far stretch for us to say we gotta be baptized of the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of God, like Jesus said. I don't get it. Then we'll say, well, that's your interpretation. But that's what Jesus said.
Right.
Jesus said, you cannot enter except to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. You know what we need to be doing is say, get me to the water. Jesus' name. You know what we ought to be doing? What are you waiting for?
Right.
Come on.
Okay, because I'm out of shape, I gotta catch my breath. So everybody stand up and worship the Lord with a little high voice, the high voice of praise. Verse number 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. I've been telling you all along about this promise. I've been telling you all along about the Spirit. I've been telling you this whole entire time that I've walked in shoe leather with you. You've heard me say it over and over and over again. Now go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise. Then he says, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
With the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Not many days hence. All right, guys, you got baptized, but it ain't over yet. There's more to come. There's more power. There's more glory. There's more joy. I'm thankful today. That it wasn't just walking down, shaking a preacher's hand, and saying a little prayer, and I walk out. But I got joy and joy unspeakable. Many believers don't do this. They feel that a little bit of God in a place of repentance, saying a little prayer, and then they run out thinking that that's all there is to their Christian experience. And even people that get baptized, get an understanding, get full of the Holy Ghost even, they think that that's it.
Right.
I got somebody very close to me that for years, over 20-something years, finally got the Holy Ghost. And now all of a sudden, they think, okay, I got it. It was almost like something to mark off on a checklist. And that's the way some of us think, that this Holy Ghost is something that we just mark off on our things to do list. But let me tell you, this Holy Ghost is much more than a check mark or a box of things to do. This Holy Ghost is life. This Holy Ghost is everything. This Holy Ghost is what keeps me going. This Holy Ghost is what keeps me coming to church. This Holy Ghost is what keeps me walking you what's right before God. Yeah. It's more than just a checklist. But we treat it like that. Some of us even pray through from time to time because, okay, well, let's just do it like this. Okay, well, you know, pastor's getting pretty tweaked and I've been out of shape. I guess it's time for me to go ahead and pray through and speak in tongues. And when I hear his voice come up beside me, I'm going to go, easy, re-traumatize. So maybe he'll leave me alone. You may fool me, but you ain't fooling God, and you ain't fooling yourself. The Bible said, deceive not your own self. Come on, quit deceiving yourself and really pray through. And don't do it because, well, I don't want him mad at me anymore. I ain't mad at none of you.
Jesus.
Now don't sit down. I know you.
Bless the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Come on. I ain't mad. There ain't nothing mad about it. When I get like this and I start feeling like this, I'm going to tell you, hey, we're getting closer to home. We ain't got no time to mess around. We ain't got no time to come around. We say, come on, we got to get up higher. Come on, we got to get up higher. So don't get mad at me for trying to get you up higher. I'm trying to get you to heaven.
Praise the Lord.
John baptized with water, and he shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. This baptism of the Holy Ghost was experienced. Now get this. Think about this for a minute. The Holy Ghost experience was experienced 10 days after that was spoken. It was still some time before the Holy Ghost came out. You know what? But they, what, you know what they did? They waited for the promise of the Holy Ghost. They tarried there. It took some time. But you know what? Because of our crazy microwave generation, we want to instant meal. Boom. Eat it, go.
Right?
We expect our Holy Ghost to be just like that. Our Holy Ghost is not a microwave dinner.
Right?
Our Holy Ghost is a 7-course meal with dessert at the end that will make you go crazy.
Right.
It's almost time. Come on now. This Holy Ghost is a building relationship. We can't continue to think of it as a quick deal, a quick meal that we come in and we leave and everything's fine. No, it's not just a Sunday morning experience. I know, because you get it all the time. When do you guys have church? Well, we got it on Sunday morning, Sunday night. We got prayer on Tuesday night. We got church Bible study on Wednesday night. You go to all those services?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
Man, that's a lot of church. I've only gone to just Sunday morning and then, you know, every once in a while. It's only, you know, because that's all. You just got an ankle deep experience with God. You ain't got nothing deeper than that.
Right.
Right.
But there's some of you got. I'm so glad that my mom drugged me when I was a kid. She drugged me to church.
Yes, sir.
She drugged me to the prayer room. She drugged me and set me down in the front pew.
Praise God.
I was a drug addict when I was a kid.
Praise God.
Now I'm even more of a drug addict because I dragged myself to church.
Amen.
And dragged all my family to church.
Amen.
Never mind. Right. Come on, I'm telling you today that this experience is more than Sunday morning. I even had somebody that is not even, they don't even go to church, but yet, you know what one of their biggest beefs was? Their biggest beef was, you know what? It bothers me when somebody goes to church on Sunday morning and they proclaim to be a Christian, but they cuss, they smoke, they drink, they talk filthy about women or men. They look at dirty magazines all week long on the job, and then I hear that they went to church on Sunday morning.
All right. All right.
That's right.
Some of y'all, I hope that ain't being said about you. Even though you're going to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, here on Tuesday night and Wednesday night. Because then obviously, you ain't getting what you need. You've gotten to the place where it's just become church. It's just become the thing that you're supposed to do. If it ain't changing your life, it ain't getting done what it needs to get done. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost will get you to quit those cigarettes. The Holy Ghost will quit you the womanizing. The Holy Ghost will quit get you looking at pornography. The Holy Ghost will quit you doing drugs. The Holy Ghost. Now turn around.
Turn around. Show everybody.
You see this pretty lady right here? You see that mouth on her? That mouth was filthy. She had one of the most filthy, cussinest mouths you ever seen.
You, well, her.
Every other word.
Was that true?
And before she got the Holy Ghost, it would just come out of her like no big deal because it was her vocabulary. But then one day, you got the Holy Ghost. Then one day, she got the Holy Ghost. And guess what? Her vocabulary changed. Her vocabulary changed. Now you're still going to now go, no way. But she has even testified to me. Now I'm telling you. I'm telling you, she testified to me not too long ago about just how filthy of a mouth that she had and how God delivered her. Don't tell me that the Holy Ghost cannot change your language. The Holy Ghost can change your language. You don't talk the way you used to talk. Not when you get the real Holy Ghost. You can try on your own.
Right.
You can try on your own, but you're going to notice you fail.
Right.
And you're going to notice you fail again. And you fail again. Right. And you blunder and you make stupid stuff. You start saying stupid stuff. And what really gets me is how Christians think that it's okay to say words that sound like cuss words.
Right.
Right.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Oh.
Right.
Oh, Pastor, hurry, move on. Oh, yeah. Yeah. These young people say, this freaking thing. Don't tell me you ain't saying the real word in your brain. Because every one of you, when I said that, you were like, oh, he didn't say the real thing. But every one of you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Right. Amen.
The Bible said, take not the Lord thy God's name in vain.
Amen.
Oh my gosh.
Uh-huh. Right.
What are you saying?
Right.
Right.
You're saying the name of God.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh darn.
Right.
Say, Pastor, you're preaching. This is on tape. You're doing. No, it's not. I didn't tape this morning. I forgot.
We are.
Sorry, Bill Carlos. Oh, you doing it? Oh, he's taping it. They caught me cussing. You know what I'm doing today. I don't talk like that. None of you have heard me say stuff like that. But you know exactly what I'm talking about, and you know exactly what you're saying when you sissy cuss like that.
Right.
Yes.
You're cussing. And there ain't...
There's
Christian cussing.
There's no such thing.
Oh. Come on, that. Well, some of y'all Christian cuss all the time.
Yes.
Then I want to see you drink some Christian beer. Yeah. I want you to smoke some Christian cigarettes. And I want you to get some Christian heroin.
Right.
And I want you to smoke yourself some Christian crack.
Oh.
Right.
And get you a Christian do-rag. And get you some Christian pants that come down to your down here and walk like this, like a freak car. Just to keep your pants up.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. And Tupac was a Christian. Here's your eye. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm preaching for sure.
Yeah.
You want to, my Lord have mercy, you want to listen to that garbage, ingest that garbage, you think the Holy Ghost is going to dwell in a garbage can? The Holy Ghost ain't going to dwell in no garbage can.
Right. Amen.
Simple.
That's
good.
Because I was preaching some good stuff there, but I'll get to it later. Lord God. First of all, I want to know who was there at the day of Pentecost. So we're gonna digress. That was for somebody right then, right there, and you better be thinking about it, stick it in your brain, and start mulling it over and say, you know what? I'm a fake. I've been a fake Christian. I've been fake cussing. I've been fake doing this. I've been faking everything else. I come in here and I fake clapping my hands. And I go out and I listen to rock music and rap music and all other kinds of junk. And then you expect to be. You expect to be what? Well, that tie don't make you a Christian. That suit don't make you a Christian. That dress don't make you a Christian. That hairdo don't make you a Christian. That don't make you nothing. Those sleeves don't make you nothing.
Right.
That don't make you nothing.
That's right.
Anybody can look like that. Just like anybody can wrap a do-rag around their hair and peg their pants down.
Right.
See, the guy walking across the street, I'm like, really? I wanted to go over there and chase him. Hey, I'm going to get you. I'm the boogeyman. And I wanted to see him run. I wanted to see him run. Because I know what would have happened. He would have started to run, and then pants would have fallen off. He would have, boom.
Gotcha. Crazy.
And some of these guys go to church, and they get a tie. They get a nice shirt on and get all dressed up and everything, and they look good and clean cut when they go to church on Sunday. But they don't look like you would never know anything different out there.
Right.
Mm. Oh, yeah. All right, we're going to get back to the word.
I think again. Start at it again.
First of all, who was there? The mother of Mary. Or Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mother Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was there. His brethren were there on the day of Pentecost. His disciples were there. Amen. The Bible tells us that there was 120 on that day. The second thing is, what were they doing? They were praying and in supplication. Supplication means requesting, petitioning. They were praying and being in supplication, making their request be known unto God. They all had one thing in common, one mindset. What was that mindset? They were praying for that promise that Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse number 5, for the promise of the Holy Ghost is going to come. You get there and you wait for it. You know what they were doing? They had nothing else on their mind. I want the promise. I want the promise. Oh God, give me the promise. Jesus, I'm believing you for the promise. Somebody needs to start praying for the promise.
Amen.
And some of you got the Holy Ghost a long time ago, but it's been so long since you spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Some of us had the Holy Ghost so long, we learned how to pray.
Right.
In some little.
Every once in a while, it gets really dramatic.
Honda, 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 Yamaha, Yamaha! Woo! Kawasaki, Kawasaki! Woo! Polaris, 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 Major! 1,000, 1,000, 1,000, 1,000! It's fake! It's phony!
Amen!
Right. And so was they doing that. But praying the Spirit ain't no more further than that. Ain't close to us, no way.
Right.
We got some type of agenda. Make sure everybody thinks that I'm spiritual.
Yeah.
But then you hear somebody like this man over there, oh God, touch my brain. He said that Tuesday, and I started crying. Because when I heard that, I said, oh yeah, God, touch my brain. That's real. That's real. That's saying, oh, I'm having some problems with my thinking.
Yep.
I'm having some issues with my mind.
Yes.
I'm struggling here in my mind. I ain't trying to put on a show and make anybody think that I'm somebody I'm not.
Yes, right. Sir.
Yes, sir.
Help me, God, yes, sir, with my brain.
Yes. Yes.
Thirdly, what happened to them on that day of Pentecost? Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1 said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house. Everybody say it filled.
Yeah.
It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon some of them. Sat upon some of them. I'm so glad that it went one, two, skip a few. One, two, skip a few.
No.
That's not what the Bible said. The Bible said it sat upon each of them. It was on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. The King James says, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. I want you to understand something, though. In the Greek, the word and, the conjunction between all were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues was not in the original Greek and Hebrew. It was not to separate the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues. The original Greek would read like this, and they all were filled with the Holy Ghost beginning to speak with other tongues. It is not a separate experience, but it is combined. That's why we got to study our word. That's why we got to know what the word of God says. That's why we got to look into the perfect law of liberty. Because tongues and the Holy Ghost are not separate, but they are together as one.
Right.
However, this was not written like that. So understand that. It was used to join together. Not separate, where we have many today that are using the word and to separate, not to join. And is a conjunction. Keeping things together.
Right, amen.
So who began to teach the Holy Ghost in tongues? Who was the very first teacher of the Holy Ghost in tongues?
Jesus,
I have not read to you one scripture yet that it was any of the disciples, any of the apostles, not one. Every scripture that I've said to you so far has all been Jesus speaking of tongues, speaking of the Spirit, and Him only.
Right.
But yet we have in our Christian world today, oh, well, that was for them back then. Really? Then why is Jesus talking about it in the New Testament? Why is it happening in the New Testament? Why did it exclusively happen in the New Testament? Why did it happen in this part of the dispensation of grace? Pray tell.
Amen.
If it was only for them back then. Well, you see, preacher, you ought to understand tongues and that and all that kind of stuff was separate. And tongues was a certain gift that was... I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you're a scholar and a student of the word. So let me explain to you in just a moment that. Mark chapter 16 and verse number 17. Let me stop for just a moment and recap real quickly. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall speak with new tongues. That Jesus said it. John 7 and 37. He that believeth on me, out of the scripture saith, the Holy Ghost, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. We understand that is of the Spirit. Jesus is talking of the Spirit because there's other scriptures that identify with that. Jesus said it. John chapter 3 and verse number 5. It said to be born of the water and of the Spirit. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Amen. So you've got to get the Holy Ghost. You've got to be filled with the Spirit. Acts 1, 4, and 5, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And then we know for a fact that Mary was in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. The disciples were, the brethren of Jesus, and many others on that day. And we know that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So they got what Jesus said.
Right.
So why is it a big deal when Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost, and he preaches to them that you've crucified the Messiah, and he says, and the people say, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter says unto them in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38, repent Yeah, when Noah, he didn't say, confess the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. Right. That's not what he said.
Right.
He said the first thing you need to do is repent. You need to find yourself a place to get in the dirt and pray and ask God to forgive you. Turn from your wicked ways.
Right.
Repentance in some places is okay. But when we're talking about the Word of God, nobody wants to repent. But in the military, it's still okay. March!